That's awesome. Uh-oh, we just lost Michael. Michael and Barbara just got snatched out of here.
Don't stay
enough tonight. Darn. Wait a minute. I thought we were all supposed to go.
Hey, I know, right?
Yeah. That will be a very interesting time.
Yeah, won't it? Oh, they're back.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get rid of that, so we'll just cover that up.
What was it like, Michael?
It was light years away from what I can put into words.
They don't believe you.
They sent you back. They sent you back. It's kind of like that time when Paul said, you know, there was a guy, I'm not going to tell you who, but God took him and showed him the third heaven, third earth, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As one born out of due time.
Yes, right. So
I like that. I like that figure.
Paul was in the fourth dimension, wasn't he, when he got his time?
Too many people confuse that with a layer rather than a chronological.
Yes.
And on my group page, this poor guy thinks that the souls are, paradise is a place where souls go to await for the return, and then when the rapture happens, that's when they get born again.
Ah.
Yeah, that's...
that makes him feel good, I guess. Huh?
And I'm telling him, he's so hung up on the soul, the immortality of the soul. I said, you've been reading too much Plato, and Bible is a spiritual book, not a soul book.
Right.
I mean, it's a soul, but it's a spiritual book.
Yeah.
He just doesn't get the spiritual part. He's in the group. Maybe he will.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a hunger there for something, right?
He does, yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah, we just...
It's like your email this morning blessed me because of the way God chose Peter instead of the angel going there himself. And Jesus Christ chose Ananias instead of following up later on. Yeah. And that made me feel good. I mean, it made me feel writing my book was worthy of, you know, I'm not reaching thousands or even the tens, but it eventually.
Right.
Who is meant to hear it will hear it and read it.
Right. Exactly. Yep. We just speak, Patty, yeah.
Yeah, Patty read a little bit. She said she used the word brilliant, so that made my day. She doesn't say that to everybody, does she?
No. She's hardly ever told me that. But, but that's understandable.
Well, it turned you psychedelic, Michael.
Yeah, it's not distractive. I'll just leave it.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Here, get the puppies.
It is Lori. Hey.
Hello, Kansas.
Hi. How we doing, man?
You've been having some adverse weather out there.
Yeah. It's nice now.
Okay.
Man.
I keep in touch with my, I went to high school in Garden City, and I keep in touch with those people I grew up with. They give me weather reports.
Gilly, come on, be nice. We have a human being here.
You're in Topeka?
Yep, Topeka, Kansas.
Say hi.
Hi.
Oddly enough, that's the capital.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about, we're about 60 miles from Kansas City, then 120 from Wichita.
What happened to Kansas? They got rid of their conservative values?
Oh, have they?
It's kind of split.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
because people bailing out of California are moving in and they're getting stuck in Kansas.
That is actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things of Kansas was I used to go out to abandoned farms and photograph them, and the windmills that were left are for the cattle that are grazing for the. And the water that comes out of those windmills is the purest, coolest, most pristine flavor ever. It's just the greatest water ever.
Yeah.
When it flows in those tanks, it's windmills are fascinating.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get off.
Oh, no, don't do that. Come on.
Then he signed off for a minute, so we thought he was gone, and we were still here.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Oh, me?
No, no.
Well, I was reading an article today. And, you know, it's very popular in movies now and topics to say that there are parallel universes.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Yeah. That drives me crazy.
Oh, I know.
And there was a good scientific article I posted on my Facebook that says there's no empirical evidence. They poo-pooed the string theory and quantum mechanics and all that stuff. They said it's all a bunch of hooey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to see that the scientists are coming around and stop listening to these late-night paranormal talk shows.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it made for an extra class in, you know,
yeah,
in college, right?
Yeah.
String theory.
Yeah, and like we were talking earlier, Paul said, I went to the third heaven and earth, so they use verses like that to try to validate.
Right.
And we know it's chronological.
Correct.
Paul wasn't given the revelation to write it down, but John was. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He said he saw things unspeakable or he couldn't write it down. God didn't give him that.
No.
That job to write revelations.
That's right. Yeah. It
says that in 2 Corinthians, right?
I think that's where it is, yeah. And it's
12. 2 Corinthians.
And people cross over words like paradise and heaven as if they're the same.
Right.
Another word that I have found trying to teach people is they interchange soul and spirit like they're one and the same so often, even Christians, and it's trying to differentiate it. They're light years apart.
Yes, they are.
Literally.
Yeah. Hey, Lorian.
Hey, what? Hi, Donnie. And
how you doing, Lorian?
Lorian's
with us because her husband's over in India.
Yes, he is.
When's he coming back?
I saw a short video clip.
Which one?
It sent it on the WhatsApp. Just a short one. They were at a meeting and dancing on the stage, as usual.
Yeah. That must be in Amritsar. So
yeah, he didn't say where it was. It just, you know.
Yeah, I'm
just your
sure
basic, just your basic meeting with music going on, everybody dancing, several hundred people. small fellowship, a small intimate one for India, just several hundred people.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's too great, too fun. But I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of great signs, miracles, and wonders.
I'm sure you can share some with us.
Well, you know how you kind of get, numb is not a good word, but have you ever stepped in front of a fire hose and it like just blows you away?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've never done it, but I've watched it on cartoons many times.
anyway, so that's kind of, what my, oh my gosh. All the signs, miracles, and wonders are just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but let me just share a few with you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's just really, really great. Okay, so one of the things is that there was a individual that had a dog, and her dog went outdoors, and there were other dogs, and this other dogs attacked her dog viciously and inappropriately. However, what happened was the other dogs had so violently attacked this dog that it literally ripped out its eye. So, yeah, very, very ugly stuff. Mm. And this gal was new to the fellowship, and so she just wanted to, prove God. So one of the things that happened was that she literally picked the eye up off the ground and put it back into this dog's eye socket, put a little salve around it, and thank God. And the dog is fine.
Ah.
You know, here's another scenario. And that was, there was a gentleman that had been going to the, here you go, honey bear, talking about dogs, here's mine. a fellow that had been going to the fellowships for quite a period of time, and then kind of, got involved with other things, and, you know, it's life. It happens sometimes. So this guy had been diagnosed with a brain tumor and destined to die, inoperable, all this other kind of stuff. And so he decided that, I know there's a place where I can go and I can get healed. So he went over to the fellowship, and you guys know Bola. So he went over to Bola's fellowship, and he knew that if Bola just put his hand on top of his head, he would be healed. Well, there were, you know, many, many people at this fellowship. So he was sitting on the stairs because there's very limited room on the floor. It's all full. There's people all over, stairs, outdoors, indoors, everywhere. So he was on the stairs, and the fellowship had gone on. He decided, Bolo decided that he was going to answer a phone call and went up the stairs to get it. And with so many people on the steps, he put his hand right on this one fella, and it lingered. And so as it lingered, I mean, there must have been a power that went out, because this guy's faith was, is that if he just puts his hand on my head, I will be healed. This was this man's expectations of the power of God. And so Bola continued up the stairs to get his phone call. In the meantime, the fella got up, walked downstairs outside, and vomited out the cancer. And now he's cancer-free.
That's great.
Yeah, God can do everything. It's not God can do anything. God can do everything.
Right.
Oh, my. Anyway, so that was just kind of wild.
That's cool.
There was a couple of other fellowships. There were just so many testimonies. I'm just trying to bring back to mind some of the other ones.
Well, we have time, so, you know, we can move on, do some other things, and when they come to mind, you can share them.
Okay, that would be great, because, yeah, I've got to get my dog out and get her walked, and I have a fellowship that starts, I don't even know what time it is.
Well, it's probably 10:30 there at your place.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got to get my dog out and get her walked, and I love joining your fellowship, so All right, I'm going to just listen in for a little bit.
Okay, awesome, great.
Great to hear your voice, Lorian.
Yeah. Hey, Lorian, you know, you say we know Bola. I remember Bola's fellowship when we first went to the Calcutta area, which he was down by the beach, right? Down by the ocean.
Yes.
I forget the name of the village that he lived in. But yeah, his fellowship, I don't know what it's like now. I'm sure it's hundreds of people, but it was the same way then. But his house was real small, very small. I don't think it was more than maybe, I don't know, 500 square feet in the room that we were sitting in, the adjacent room. And then people were stuffed in the alley behind, looking through the window in the back of the house. And then also in the alley in the front of the house, people were just packed in everywhere, just to hear what was going on. And I remember that being the place that Ashish helped me minister to a man by that came up to me, and he was translating for me. And the guy was talking about this rash, and I've shared this testimony with you before. Some of you may remember it, but he had a rash all over his torso, you know, his abdomen and chest, and it was very bothersome to him, and he wanted to be delivered from it. So, you know, Ashish was explaining this to me, and I was inspired just to talk to him about, Jesus Christ, basically, and rehearse some of the things that he had heard already at the fellowship, the testimonies of healing and deliverance that he'd already heard, because he wasn't born again. He mentioned that. He said, I don't know who your Jesus is, and I don't know anything about that. All I know is I just heard about healing. And I said, well, I just explained to him and tried to build his faith, and Ashish was translating for me, I said, well, you know, if God could do these things for these other people that you heard them testify of this morning, then do you believe he could do it for you? And he said, yeah, yes, I do. And so, and he said, but I still, you know, I'm not born again, you know, from what I heard other people say. And that's what Ashish was communicating to me, translating to me. So I helped him understand how to be born again, which is very simple, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. I shared that with him, and I asked him if he believed it. And he said, yes, I do. I believe that God raised that man from the dead. I said, well, do you confess him as Lord? Yes, I do. And so he looked at me like a deer in the headlights when he answered affirmative to those questions. And Ashish looks, you know, we just stopped for a second. And I said, okay, great. Well, now let's minister to get you healed of that rash. And he looked at Ashish and he looked at me and he said in Hindi, you know, basically, it's gone. I'm fine. And he ran off all excited. Right. And Ashish and I looked at each other, and this is the same place at Bola's, you know, so the beginnings continue, you know, the beginning, the signs, miracles and wonders continue. And, just remarkable. And also the thing that was fun when Ashish and I looked at each other, and we just kind of chuckled and laughed like little, you know, little grade school kids, you know, like so excited that we didn't even have to minister to him. We just got him born again and he got healed. And then Ashish looks at me with his, you know, again, childlike face and grin. And he goes, but we didn't get him speaking in tongues. We need to get him speaking in tongues. And so I thought, yeah, that's right. We do. But I think that Bola took care of that later. So we had other people to minister to. But amazing. Amazing what the things that God will do, you know, as people come to him with faith, like we all have. You know, we all have done the same thing. And we've seen God do some great things in our lives. So praise God. So, anything, what else is on your minds? What else? I know there's probably a lot of things on your minds.
Donnie?
Yes.
I thought of one other testimony, and that was where they brought this person on a stretcher to the fellowship, just like in the book of Acts, you know, and they bring him to the fellowship. He gets healed. He walks home. It's just amazing just to see all that stuff. And, you know, years ago, I think some of the women will get a chuckle out of this, but Tom would be gone for a period of time and whatnot. And so I would work on my house out in California and change things and move offices and paint and all that kind of stuff. Well, Tom's been gone for 3 weeks. So I've got trees cut down in the backyard. I've got all the dead stuff gone. I've got all sorts of stuff for surprises for Tom when he gets home. Just a little bit of, you know, chuckle time.
Great. Yeah, it wouldn't be the same without some changes at home, right? When he gets back. That's good.
When's he coming back, Lorian?
Yeah, that's right, Donnie. The 24th, he arrives.
So just a few days. So Wednesday?
Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday. Lori's helping me over here.
I have to take some to the doctor.
Okay. All right. Well, that's wonderful. That's great. All right. Who's got something on their heart?
Everyone's just thinking about
that. Right. It's just like, wow. Yeah. Those are wonderful to hear those things, you know, because that, you know, that puts our lives in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we struggle with seeing the signs, miracles, and wonders. You know, we struggle with our faith sometimes. That's just part of being human. But that's the great thing that a circumstance like that where God is really moving and people are really believing him with that childlike believing,
yeah.
You know, that simplicity of the truth that is in Christ, you know, that, that we have this power and we have this authority and God's delegated it to us. He has delegated this authority to us. And all we need do to operate that authority and that power is believe in our heart that we have it and proclaim it, right? Just speak as Christ spoke, you know? I mean, now we don't have to go out in the wilderness and make some humongous, beautifully designed, you know, sermon, you know? We may not be called to do that, but we can still do those great works of God. We can do the works that Jesus Christ did, healing people, delivering people.
Yeah.
You know, casting those spirits out by our word.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. That's why, you know, those of us who know of the things that God's doing there in India and among those fellowships in India and Nepal, and you hear of these things and we scratch our heads and we go, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And it is much like Lorian said, that just like the book of Acts. Yeah. I often shared with people after the first few trips that I'd taken over there that when they'd ask me, you know, well, what's it like over there? What's going on? Well, it's like walking into the book of Acts.
Yeah.
That's what it is over there.
Hmm.
You know, and that's so much a part of our lives too. You know, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. You know, we're all a part of that same movement of God. The things that God's doing there is the things that God's doing in the body of Christ, that, of which we're a part. And we're participating in it just as much as they are. You know, whether we be physically there, you know, take the time and effort and spend the money to go there, or we just realize that God can work here in my life too. You know, God will bring people to me, to you, that have a heart and a desire to believe. And all they need is a little encouragement. All they need is to hear that, well, yes, it's happening today. Yes. You know, yes, you can be healed of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Whatever weakness you may have in your flesh, you know, that is causing problems physically in your body, you can be delivered. God can heal it. And this is what we continue to encourage one another with. This is what we continue to encourage ourselves with. And never, you know, we don't condemn ourselves. you know, for having a need to look to the Lord and say, help mine unbelief, will you please? You know, I believe you. I know who you are. I know who you are, the Almighty God. You're my Father. I know who your Son, Jesus Christ, is. He's my Lord and Savior. You raised him from the dead. So help my unbelief in this particular thing. We need to do that at times. You know, at times we just need that little help, you know, and we have one another to do it. And we have that personal relationship with our Heavenly Father to encourage us and bring us to that place of confidence, you know, absolute confidence, undeniable trust in what God has called us to. So, and we continue to speak, we continue to encourage one another and build each other up, you know, regardless, no matter how long it takes. You know, sometimes it takes a little time. You know, I was reminded again the other day, you know, that in my pursuit of godliness, sometimes my head gets in the way.
Yeah.
I was reminded of it because I don't know if you can see that, but I was trying to do something at work and my head got in the way physically, literally. And I whacked my head, and again, as I am prone to do. But it reminded me of how sometimes spiritually, you know, when we're seeking the things of God and walking in that great power that he's planted within us, you know, by way of that Spirit, you know, sometimes our heads get in the way. So we just continue to encourage one another and say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Listen to what that lady did for her dog. Listen to what that man did when he just believed, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood, right? Just, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just get Bola to put his hand on my head, I'll be healed. Right? Wow. What a tremendous testimony. You know, God hasn't changed any, and his calling of us hasn't changed any, right? We can still see those things today and do those things. So I'm excited.
Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
Oh, I was just going to say, all these testimonies are flashing through my brain of when we were there together. Actually, the first time Donnie and I went, I don't remember how many years ago that was, but Vanessa and Justin were with us. Mm-hmm. And I know Vanessa was 14. And, you know, as their manner is after the fellowship, which are very long, which everybody has, you know, everyone's waiting. But they have such great, great, great expectation. You know, and that's the key for all of us, too. You know, to believe that God is going to do what he promises. But I remember two particular testimonies. One, you know, Vanessa, they line up around, you know, the Americans. They want us to lay their hands on them because they expect something great. And there was this woman with a child, a young child who had never walked. And Vanessa, you know, and we do all this through translators. Vanessa ministered to this child, and the next day the child walked for the first time. You know, the book of Acts. Then I remember one where I had someone that I ministered to. Lorian, you made me think of it when you talked about the guy went out and threw up, and he literally threw up the tumor. The same kind of thing happened when I ministered to someone over there that, and I had this young teenage girl, an American, but she was living in Kerala. Her name is Tori. I don't know if you remember Tori, Lorian, but, you know, her and I, she was coaching me in ways more excellent, you know, to minister. And then someone was translating, and this woman that I was ministering to literally coughed up the devil spirit. And that's about as simple terms as I can put it, because as I was ministering, I started to see what was going on, that it was spiritual, you know, and she just couldn't stop hacking and coughing and hacking and coughing. And then suddenly she spit it up, and I visually, God showed me the spirit leaving her, And Tori and I were just like, oh, praise God, you know, just don't quench the Spirit's fire. You know, you just, it's so powerful. But the expectation is the point that I wanted to emphasize, because we can't ever give up on God. You know, we can't ever allow a root of bitterness to grow in us because of disappointment, you know, because we may not have hit the mark sometimes. But that's okay. We're still God's kids, you know, and that childlike believing and confidence, we still keep looking to God to heal us, like Karen's testimony last week. You know, how she just sat there in miserable pain for 2 hours at the hospital, and just something, she just, God healed her of the pain, you know, and I'm sure she's got more to tell us about it now, but waiting in a hospital for 2 hours in doubled over pain. I mean, God delivered you, and he's delivered each and every one of us at different times in our lives. And we've seen it happen, and we know it's available. And I think, you know, that's really all that I want to share right now, is just to have that great expectation, like Ephesians 3:20, you know, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. But we have to ask and think according to the power that worketh in us. The power works in us, and it's energized in us. Andrew, I know you're a fan of all those fun Greek words. So is Michael. It's energized when we expect God to do what he promised. You know, Steve and Cindy have seen this repeatedly. I mean, Cindy has experienced tremendous healing, and she's still experiencing it. I know she is. And we believe that together as a body and individually for ourselves and one another. Yay. Yay, God.
Yay, God. Hey, I got a quick one here, and that was, well, maybe two, but there was a gal that was up in the loft. I'm not sure which residence or whose house it was at or any of that kind of stuff, but she was up in the loft, and she didn't fall asleep like, you know, like one of the guys did in Paul's long sermon and long preaching and all that stuff and fall out. But she did end up falling out. And so I think it was a 20-foot drop. So like two stories or so. And what happened was is that the mom could not grab her, but she called out to her daughter. And my understanding from the audio is that the girl literally came lifted back up and into the window. Oh, okay. I'm at the fire hose level. All right. pretty much. And then there was one other that I comes to mind that I can share. And that was, there was a believer that had gotten his head damaged somehow and then died. And so the believers had all come together and were just praying that he would be fine and he would wake up. So, all right. 8 days later, the guy wakes up and takes a breath. 8 days. 8 days later. And, you know, it's so amazing to me because I think of, you know, because I do have a lot of Bible knowledge. I know the number 8 represents new beginning. Mm. And I was like, wow, this is like a brand new life. You know, it's like when we get born again, it's a brand new life. It's fresh. It's new. It's a brand new beginning. So you know, there's just fire hose moments that, I mean, you know, the amount of testimonies and great power that God is doing all over the U.S., all over India, all over everywhere, they come in many forms. The blessings are ours, and we simply receive them. you know, this is a small thing, quote unquote, but God cares about every aspect of our life. For the last month or so, my refrigerator has been going clunk. And it's like, oh my gosh. So I went to Costco and I priced out refrigerators. And of course they don't have my brand, my type that I have because it's only 7 years old. It's a good refrigerator, but I really like my refrigerator. And I really didn't want to spend like $4,000 on a refrigerator for the types that I have and all that other kind of stuff. It was like, no, I don't want to do that. I had a repair guy come out. He said, yeah, it's your, what do you call those big things, those big motors that run everything?
Compressor.
Compressors. That's it. Yeah, he said it was my compressor, and it was like, oh, man. And then he said, well, you're probably going to have to get a new refrigerator because the compressor parts don't synchronize with the new compressor.
Your audio, Lorian.
She must be walking the dog.
Lorian, we lost you.
It just may be that.
There you go.
I think I got disconnected somehow. But anyway, so it just may be that you just need it to be cleaned. I said, cleaned? He said, yeah. You know, just clean everything off. And so he came out yesterday, and my refrigerator is working perfectly today. There's no clunks or thunks or nothing like that. It was $150 or whatever. It was so simple. I was like just crazy cool. So, but that's what I wanted to share. So blessings. That's all. They're blessings for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He cares about everything, great and small, in our lives. Everything. Physically, spiritually.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I've been kind of going on this adventure of exercising no lack in my life and having God just bless me totally. So I told you last week I got a new drum set, and I have been playing it for at least 4 hours a day. So Friday comes around and I am exhausted. Friday morning comes around and I'm very, very sleepy. I wake up and it's like raining and snowing, and like my bed is just like calling to me. I was like, oh, okay, but I gotta go back into work because I need to save my time off because I want to come see you guys. So I'm going to work. So I go to work, man. I'm heading to work. I almost get like hit 3 or 4 times by people. I get my coffee and I sit there and I pray to God. I said, God, I need some help right now. I am exhausted. I'm really sleepy. So I go back to my work area, kind of start my work, and I'm probably about like 3 or 4 minutes into it, and the lights go off. And I hear, all right, everybody stop working. Just stay in place for a little bit to stop working. So anyways, we do that, and 20 minutes later, lights don't come back on. They're not on. So I was like, okay. So they call us, and they say, okay, everybody go in the hallway. Right. So they were like, okay, well, you know, just hang out in the hallway. Should be back on in a couple minutes. The lights ended up staying off for 5 hours while I can sit, have my coffee and pray and rest. And then they come back on. I got like 3 more hours of work left. I go home and I play the drums. It's just that simple. And it's like, I got paid for it too, and I didn't have to miss any time. It's like, okay, God did that just for me. The lights go off at work, so I can get paid and I can save time and I can rest. He did that just for me. And you know, it's just like, I was thinking the day of,
about something that you said, Patty, you know, that you don't have anything left on your bucket list. And it's like, okay, God did that for you so you can minister and you can believe and be thankful for other people and you can help other people out. That's why he blesses us like that. And it's the small little blessings like Lorian in your refrigerator. It's like, okay, yeah, just take the back part off, clean off the grate, and it's fine. But, you know, it's just little things like that. And I've been really practicing that in my life. It's like, okay, I don't need to be a martyr. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. All I really do need to do is believe God to bless me. And I've been trying to pray and ask God for that and ask God for his favor every single day. Some days I miss it. Some days it's like, okay, God, you've given me a lot. I don't think I can take any more right now. But it's like, okay, yeah, you just gotta keep moving forward with it. That was a really cool thing that he did for me on Friday. It was really awesome. And it was just for me, you know? So, I don't know. I love you guys. You guys are wonderful.
You too, Andrew. Thanks. That's great. Thanks for sharing that.
We love you and your family also.
Yeah.
They're under the weather today.
Okay, well.
Which is sunny, and it's really nice out, but they just stayed up too late last night. So.
Ah, see? Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Give them our love.
Yeah.
I will.
All right. What else?
So, I'll say something, I guess.
Matt?
I have a drum set. It's an electronic drum set, and one of the hi-hat cymbals stopped working. You know, it wouldn't recognize when I was hitting it unless I hit it really hard. I was looking up on some YouTubes on fixing it, and one of them was like, take it apart, and you have to get to the device that recognizes the signal, and they're like, look, see, it's got a problem with the solder joint, and so they fixed it, and then it worked. But I took mine apart, and everything looked fine. I didn't see the same issue, and there was a couple of screws on it, and I tightened the screws, and I put it back together, and it still didn't work, and, you know, I was about ready to go spend money on buying a new one, because I thought, well, maybe that'll be just the easiest thing to do, but in the back of my mind, it was like something was telling me to keep looking at it, but what I ended up doing is I ended up softening the solder on this one piece, and then pressing it together better, and it's like I put it back together and it's like working perfectly now. So it was just that, you know, God was telling me, you know, and I was, you know, I was being stubborn about it because I didn't see what I thought I should see. And so I figured, that's not it. But thank God, I finally just said, okay, let me just try this. You know, it's saved me some money and it was working right away. I was thinking about something too, and I think this is, I wasn't on fellowship last week, but I heard, you know, Karen and you went to the hospital and everything like that. This is back when I used to be in Amarillo, Texas, and with my ex-wife, and she was not feeling well, stomach issues or something like that, and so we ended up going to one of those places like a CVS or a Walmart, or not a Walmart, Walgreens or something like that, where they have, you know, a doctor there that they can see and stuff. I forget what you call it. It's not a hospital, but mini clinic, yeah. And we got there, and it was going to be, I don't know, 45 minutes or something like that before they were going to be able to see her. And she just all of a sudden, like, I want to go over, there was a Walmart across the street. She says, I want to go over there and get some Apple Jacks. I really want some Apple Jacks. And so we ended up leaving, went over there, and she ate some of the Apple Jacks, and she felt fine. You know, and so it's just another, you know, God knew what her body needed to feel better. And it makes me think about the whole thing with the science and all that stuff, you know, and, you know, God knows so much more. God knows everything about life. God's the one that designed it. God designed our bodies, you know, God put the whole universe together. And we got all these scientists trying to say, well, we figured out what's the real deal. And a lot of that goes against, or I think it's, we are told to rely on science instead of God, you know, and it makes me think about, you know, the situation in India, and a lot of rural parts of this country even, where, you know, it's the bombardment of the false truth is not so ready available to them. And it's, you know, in with the people in India, a lot of times they, it's that childlike believing. It's like, well, I heard that your God can heal me. They don't have something else, which is good. You know, they don't have so much already to, well, you'll go to this doctor, go to that doctor. I mean, which they obviously have, but you know, they can waste their time. But they come to God and it's like, okay, I heard your God can heal me, and they get healed. So it's a wonderful thing. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, lack of all the science is a good thing. Not that, you know, we can still put God above the science, and you only, you know, the science may be right or wrong. It's, you know, what they present, but, you know, put God first and all these things will be added unto you, not science first. So, anyways, that's a couple of things I was thinking about.
Great, Matt. Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? No, it's okay. All right.
What is that?
It's a little note. So. Okay, then. Well, you know, it's so amazing, you know, what God can do for each of us. You know, and it really is. I mean, at times, you know, like we all have experienced great things that God has done for us. And those are the things that we keep in mind. Those are the things that we continue to remind ourselves about, you know, and in the midst of, you know, today's struggles or today's challenges, we remind ourselves of the things, the great things that God has done for each of us. You know, whether they be small things, like giving us a break at work, you know, so we can rest up for the next practice session, you know, or as they, woodshedding, as they say in the biz, the music biz, right? Whether it be those small things or whether it be those big things that are about our very lives. You know, God can do them, and God has done them many times for each of us in the past. And we remind ourselves of those things. You know, we remind ourselves of the great things that God has done for us and brought us through those times when we thought, well, you know, this is going to be a tough one. And God has brought us through it. You know, that's what he did for Israel. You know, every time Israel got themselves in trouble, you know, God, by way of the prophet, would always remind them, hey, you know, remember what God did back for your fathers, for your grandfathers? Remember what God has done for you? You know, there's nothing that God cannot do. Right? He can do everything, right? He can do it all. And he continues to desire to do it all for each of us. So we continue to be that persistent person. You know, I'm persistent. You know, like I'm reminded whenever I think of something like that, you know, it was George Mueller, you know, who said in one of his books, he wrote in one of his books, you know, one of the main problems of the Son of God is that they don't persist in prayer until their answer comes. You know, they give up, basically. You know, and so we never give up. We won't let each other give up. You know, we continue to encourage one another that our miracle is rightfully ours, because sometimes that's what it takes. It takes a huge miracle sometimes, but it's ours. It's ours already. And we have every right to it because of the things that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And realizing that, you know, gives us a new start every day, you know, gives us a new day. It's a new day. It's a day that we can live and walk with God and see his great hand of blessing working in our lives, you know, see more of his grace, you know, bringing those great things into our lives that we need. That's the design of our lives now as sons and daughters of God, that we can really see God working. Because, like, you know, I think Andrew, you mentioned it, you know, it's God does these things for us so that we can be more convinced, that we can be confident when we speak to others, you know, because God does depend on us. It's like I wrote in that letter last night, you know, God depends on us. You know, yeah, he's got a multitude of angels, you know, that he can send everywhere and anywhere to do these things. But yet he has delegated that responsibility and that privilege to each of us, to us. And so, you know, if I'm going to be convinced of God's ability to heal, that's resident within me, that power that's able to heal and deliver, then, you know, God has to do certain things for me. God has to do certain things for you. You know, what did he do for Peter? To where Peter was just absolutely gung-ho. I'll do anything you need me to do. I'll argue once in a while, but I'll do it. You know, when Peter was up on the rooftop, right? And he was waiting, just praying, just, okay, God, what do you need me to do today? You know, I'm ready to go. And God showed him. Right? All those dirty beasts, all those creeping things and four-footed beasts that are unclean. Showed him all those things. Eat something. You hungry? Eat something. I'm not going to eat that. It's unclean. Come on. I'm a Jew's Jew too, you know. Ah, no. Don't call unclean what I've cleaned. You know, so he prepared him for what was coming next. You know, the angel could have told Cornelius, but God was depending upon Peter to go do it. He wanted Peter to do it. He wanted Peter to have the joy of doing it, not the burden of doing it, the joy of doing it. You know, it's a joy to each of us when we really find ourselves in a position where we're speaking for God. Don't we? I mean, you've all have been there. We all have been there where we know that this is a connection that God made, and God made it because this individual is hungry or needs something that I have to give him. Right? And Peter and John, you know, we don't have any silver and gold to give you, but we can give you a heck of a lot more than that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh. See, what joy that was. It wasn't a burden. It's a joy. And that's what we find ourselves anticipating day by day. When we're focused on it, right? The joy of life as a son or daughter of God. You know, doing what he has orchestrated, you know, for us to be a part of in someone's deliverance or someone's getting born again. A greater work than what Jesus Christ could have done because it wasn't yet there. Couldn't do it yet. Oh yeah, he could raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, but he couldn't get them born again yet. He couldn't give them eternal life yet. And we can. And we do. And what a joy it is when we see that individual respond to those words that we speak to them. What a joy it is. And that's really the joy of our lives. You know, we have great joy, right? When we're focused on the redemption we have, the salvation we have, the power that we have, great joy in that. But then when we're actually out there doing it, you know, we realize such a great thrill. And that's why we anticipate more of it. You know, to get to a place where, you know, just the shadow of us passing by heals somebody. You know, we can be in that situation too. God wants all men to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's described in the Word, described in the book of Acts is what happens when people are really preaching and teaching and proclaiming by the Spirit of God in them the great truth that he's worked. The gospel, you know, the good news, you know. And we have great opportunity, you know, in this country as well. You know, we just wait for God to bring the people to us. Wait for him to work out that circumstance to where we have that open door of utterance to speak and share the things that God has done for you. You know, that you can tell people those things. You know, you don't have to know everything from Genesis to Revelation in order to get someone born again or get them healed. Just speak to them the great things that God has done for you. You know, in those situations, there's always something that God will bring to mind. It may seem little to you. It may seem unimportant to you. But as you speak it, you see that, wow, this really meant something for this individual, this person, this group of people, whatever. It really meant something. Because God is the one who is working it. God's the one who is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we just walk with God. We just allow him to inspire us, allow him to encourage us and remind us of the great things he's doing. So that's what brings a smile to our faces, right? And that calm that comes, that peace that comes in knowing that, yeah, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I do have God on my side. I do have a Savior that accomplished everything for me. So we can rejoice in that. No matter how hard things get moment by moment, day by day, it doesn't really matter. Because we always see our deliverance. We always see the victory. Don't we? We do. We do. We look back in our lives and we see, well, yeah. God brought me through that. God brought me through this. God brought me through that. Yeah.
Really?
There was this miracle. There was this healing. God's done so many, many things for each one of us. And so he will do this too. He'll do this challenge I'm facing today. He'll do that too. He'll open the windows of heaven. He'll pour out blessings. Because he wants you to have fun. He wants us to have fun in this life.
Yeah.
He really does.
It
He doesn't want it to be a struggle, you know. Some people want you to struggle. Some people rejoice in the struggling. I don't. I mean, yeah, I sure. Sometimes I only rejoice after it's done. Right.
Yeah.
But anywho, we have. I'm just thankful, and I know that you are thankful also for the great things that God has done and is doing in each of our lives. So, forever grateful. Anything else?
Yeah, Don, I just wanted to thank you for what you put in writing. I hadn't ever really thought about your point about God chose us when he could have sent an angel. And that really excited me. And, you know, it takes a lot of studying the word, pondering the word to figure out something like that. That was a real beautiful key. And so that got me thinking about this one situation where I've got a friend. And, you know, people out there in the world, they're so encased by fear. They're so, you know, oppressed, depressed, or whatever it may be. And we don't live that way. So it's kind of foreign to us. And sometimes it like surprises us when we hear these things. So I've got this friend and, you know, he was talking about, you know, it being winter and he works third shift and, they have to wear a mask and, you know, all these things seem somewhat trivial to me, because we just don't live that way. And, you know, he went on to talk about like the science, you know, Matt, you know, of, you know, people that work third shift and, not getting enough sunshine. And, you know, the bottom line was, is like, if one of these things would just break open, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm like, oh, okay. How about pray? Let's just pray, you know, and, we're just going to expect that something gives, something breaks. And so we prayed. And 2 days later, his huge company, I mean, he went on and on about how this company, the state could, you know, release the mandate. And this company would probably still be the last to release the mask mandate. And, I mean, you know, I did think about that because, you know, working 8-10 hours a day with a mask on, you know, has to be extremely wearing on your respiratory system. And so anyway, long story short, 2 days after we prayed, this huge company, corporation that you would never think would release the mask mandate. So there was his break, you know, that was, and it seems so small, insignificant, but anytime we pray and things happen, like Patty was saying, large or small, and especially to people that don't necessarily live like we do, that expect, you know, a person to be raised from the dead 8 days later. I mean, most people just couldn't handle that. But what they can handle is a simple prayer and the mask mandate being released. And now they get to go to work and work 8 hours and don't have to wear a mask. So, you know, I didn't even think about that at the beginning of the fellowship. But to that person, it's like a miracle. So, anyway, that was my little contribution and speaking the word and praying with somebody that happened this past week.
That's great, Kat. Yeah. It's a simple thing like sitting down and praying with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. When we're expecting those prayers to be powerful, they supply our need. That's wonderful. It's great.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I had this feeling that I was about to lose this person. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, something's got to give. And I had no idea that it would be something so small as, and it's really not that small that a huge corporation made a change, corporate change, to undo the mask mandate. And so, but it's so challenging for me to think about things like that because, you know, I just don't live like that. It's like, oh my God. It's like, I would just expect my company or my corporation to change immediately. But this guy had worked himself into a lather about, you know, being hemmed in on every side by seemingly such small stuff, but it wasn't small to him. So, anyway, great victory, but not necessarily in my mind. You know, I think about great victories as, yeah, raising somebody from the dead, or it never would have dawned on me that the mass mandate would be so big for somebody, but obviously it is.
Right. Great. Thanks, Kath. There was a before Lorian had to go, but she sent a little text message to me in response. Matt, you were saying how in India, the science and all that, like as composed as compared to here, where the science becomes more important than the power of God. She made a little note saying, yeah, they have witch doctors. You know, they have a plentiful supply of witch doctors. You know, they may not have very many hospitals dispersed throughout all these small villages throughout the country, but they got a ton of witch doctors, you know. And when they quit counting on them and turn to the true God, that's when they see great things. So,
yeah, it's the same thing, really.
Yes.
Non-truth versus truth.
Right.
And, do you remember, Matt, when we were there and we were all together and we were going somewhere, I don't remember where, but out in the field there was this huge, huge, I guess the biggest one in the world, statue of Shiva, you know, their main god. I mean, they had these statues.
Yeah, it's like 300 feet tall or something.
They have them everywhere in India because the gods that they worship are physical entities that are out there, you know, like the monkey god. Ashish was telling us one time they worship the monkey god, and there are all these monkeys in this this park that relate it to how it affects teenagers. So the teenagers, there is their monkey god or something. Anyway, it's
for kids,
and you think about it. But how they so quickly change their minds when they hear the truth and light dispelling darkness. I mean, it's just so rapid over there. I just remember, when I broke my toe and I sat in the back row with you at one point and decided, okay, we're going to get up and dance, you know, when everyone was dancing. I don't know if you remember that, because I just decided my toe didn't hurt, although it was just really hurting. It just went away. And, you know, just that whole great expectation, simple childlike believing, you know, just, I love memories of that place, but I also love memories of hearing your testimonies, everyone's testimonies, because we all have them. When we finally, in our heart of hearts, expect God to do what he says he's going to do, it's just all the dots connect. Childlike believing, like you said, Kathy, like we all, Donnie said, yeah.
We just live in his graces.
Yeah.
Say, you know, hey, just be blessed.
Is Matt with you? I mean, is Ann with you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hi, Ann.
Where's your slippers? What slippers you got on, Ann? There you go.
Love you, Ann.
Love you too, honey.
I know.
Well, all right. Anything else? Lori, you have anything? that you'd like to share?
Sure.
Okay. See, Lori's here with us today.
On you?
Yes.
You don't have to put
no,
it on.
They have to see you.
You know, when I first started coming back to fellowship, one of Donnie's first teaching was to believe simple. Every day I have to believe. I live in a household who doesn't do the word. They always contradict the world. But I have a grandson. I decided I would start small. I'd have a grandson. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have to get up early because I have to take him to school. Well, time has changed, and I have night blindness, and it's dark in the morning. So I have to go to school a little later, and I have to really pray because my believing isn't always there. So I go outside, and I say, okay, God, you know it's dark. I cannot drive in this. I cannot put this boy in danger. And it is putting him in danger. But I'll be darned, it's 7:25. There's enough light for me to see. Because when cars come and the lights, they blind me. I can't see the road. But I remember a long time someone told me to look for the white line. We've gotten him to school on time, early. And every time he says, how did you do that? I get to speak the word hoping it will work for his other part of the family. And I tell him, God, he gave us no traffic. No, he sleeps the whole time I'm taking, so I have to explain it. When we get to the school, he'll ask me that. And we have no traffic. I mean, literally no traffic. And this is a Buford Road. It's always busy. And there's always accidents. And he's so amazed because I get him there early. But my life every day is believing God, and I do see miracles every day. They're very simple ones. But every day I get up, and the first thing I do is I pray for the believers, and I pray that God gives you a miracle so I can hear about them. Yeah. This is the only communication I have is at fellowship or on Zoom. My family doesn't talk to me. I live with a family. They're so busy. They don't have time. I talk to a dog, and they think I'm crazy. But they don't understand. You've got to have someone to talk to. You live in a house and no one to talk to you because they're busy. But God does do miracles in that house. And every time I say something, they try to contradict me. Every time they will find, like, when we moved in this house, I wanted a room by myself with a private entrance. It meant a lot to me to be able to come and go when I want. Because I knew the situation. Well, I kind of got talked out of it. God gave it to me, but I got talked out of it because I didn't listen to God. So I said to my daughter, I said, it's everything I asked God for. Well, it doesn't have a bathroom down there. And it didn't. But I was so happy that God gave me my own patio, my own room. I wouldn't be away from the family that doesn't talk to me. But I'd have a reason. I can come and go. But I got talked out of it, so I'm still waiting in 2 more months to get that room. But I did get talked out. He does answer prayers, but I noticed with non-believers, they can always try to find a fault when you tell them you prayed. They can always find something, a negative to it.
Yeah.
You know, even no matter what I do, I don't care. They always find something. The God didn't quite do it all the way.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand, I was willing not to have the bathroom. I wanted the room more than anything, the privacy. Because I have no privacy because I have a dog who thinks I'm his owner. But I have to let him be a family dog. So every time you go by my room, my door is open because of this crazy dog that's not mine. But, you know, they always find negatives. And I've learned that you got to be really strong. But the first thing to do is get up every morning, go outside because there's porches out there, and pray.
Yeah.
Because I find when I come back in, the whole atmosphere is totally different.
Yeah.
So, guys, you got to keep sharing your miracles, because I pray for them, and I need to hear them. I need to know, even though I'm in this dark area, trying to shine the light, that it is working, that God is answering prayers. It's really a big deal to me.
Amen.
I don't talk to nobody. I lost a lot of friends because I've moved so far away, and the price of gas,
yeah,
and the price of my rent is amazing. So, you know, I just have to continue. I am not complaining. God has given me a roof over my head. I get to see miracles every day. But, so I didn't mean to run my mouth, but I was just excited to talk.
That's great.
You know, it's just keep telling me about your miracles. I need to know what God did.
Yeah.
Because I don't talk to the believers. You know, I don't have nobody's number or anything. I don't talk to people. So I don't know what miracle's going until they share it on Zoom. So keep sharing, guys. I survived that way. Just amen. Wanted to share that. Nice and simple.
That's great.
You know.
That's wonderful.
I've known Lori for, gosh, longer than I've known my husband.
Yeah.
And and all her children now, her grandkids. Well, she does believe God. Hold on, I'm still
you
talking.
You haven't known her children longer than you've known me.
No.
True. Well, no, wait, I have Ange and Chris.
Well, Ange, yes.
They were around before you were, so there you have it.
Oh, whoops.
But they do. Angelia, her daughter, she's referring to, does believe God. And you keep shining that light, and you don't give up on that. Because it always works. It always works. I mean, you are the light in that household right now, but they're all lights too. Is it Brody that you drive?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 11.
That's great.
That's unbelievable that he's 11. Last time I saw him, he was like a toddler. But yeah, we don't give up on people. You know, it's hard for people sometimes, like you mentioned, them being so busy.
Yeah.
My daughter's so busy, sometimes I get very frustrated that when I miss her, I'll go on her Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and listen to her music, and I'll cry like an idiot because she just reaches people with her heart, like especially when she sings her God songs, you know, and she has a favorite. I have a favorite that she does, but I pray for my daughter fervently, and she reminds me when we do talk, which isn't very often, that she has family values and Christian values that are innate in her because we raised her that way. And so that's all of our kids and our grandkids. And, you know, it's just important. And you said it too, Donnie, not to give up on what we desire, on the people and the kids and everyone we love. Kathy, we don't give up on anybody's miracles coming to pass.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful what you shared.
Yeah,
Lori, because
me too.
Because, you know, that's the heart, you know, a unique heart that you have. And, you know, I mean, I was confronted by that simplicity because, you know, your prayer is, her prayer is, yes, for God to do things for her. But for God to continue to be doing things for each of us, everyone else, so that she can be encouraged by the things that God's doing for you, that she's praying for you, you know, and that is a wonderful heart. And that's, you know, that's wonderful. Thanks for continuing to pray for miracles for us.
Lori is,
and it's wonderful.
She's a great, great, great believer.
Yeah.
She's our neighbor somewhere. I still don't
know
where she lives.
Yeah, we still don't know where she lives, but she's around. So, yeah. We'd have to get bicycles instead of.
I have one. I just haven't been on it in a while.
Instead of driving back and forth to see each other, we'll get bicycles. Okay. Well, anything else, anyone? If not, we'll say some prayers and hear the manifestations, okay?
Maybe.
So, all right. Let's pray. All right. Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the great things that you inspire in each of our lives to help build up this wonderful part of the body of Christ that you have placed us in and drawn us together in. And thank you, Father, for just how much we love you because of the things that you've done for us. Thank you, Father, for the way you continue to do them and the way those mighty works continue to inspire each of us to anticipate more and expect more and desire more from you, because we know that it is your will for us to prosper, for us to be in health, for us to have fullness of joy in our lives. as we rejoice in the things that you're working and you're doing, not only in our own lives, but in each of our lives, so that we can joy and rejoice one with another. Thank you, Father, for the small things that you do and for the great things that you do. And we thank you, Father, that all these things are because you love us and because you have great grace in your heart toward each of us. And we're thankful for this, and we're thankful for, again, your love and grace in our lives, and that we can walk with great grace toward one another, and that we can be those lights in the world and bring great deliverance and set the captives free. Father, thank you for these things and for the words that you have for us each and every moment of every day by way of that Spirit. So, someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy?
Know, my children, that I'm always with you. I will ever be present with you for the rest of your lives and beyond. Know, my children, that I'm there for you and that I will grant you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Always look to me, always walk with me, always talk with me, and I will be there.
Wonderful. Someone else?
Know, my children, that as you walk with me and talk with me, that I will indeed bless you with all wonderful things. It is my deepest desire to see you walk in this life in my blessings, to walk in this life full of prosperity and health, and to know and to understand me as your Heavenly Father. Come to me and come to my word. What I have spoken is the truth. It cannot be broken. So as you walk with me, as you talk with me, and as you consider my word and place it high in your thoughts, know that those things will come to pass. Those things will overcome the things of the world. And those things are the things that will bring you many blessings and much great joy in your lives.
Wonderful. Anyone else? Truly, I love you, my children. I have called you from before the foundations of the world to know me and to know my love and my grace. Therefore, always look unto me for everything that you need, for I am your all in all. I have accomplished all things through my Son, Jesus Christ. I have given you new life. I have created everything new for you. You are my chosen gems. You are my people. You are the ones who I have paid a great price for. Therefore, always be thankful to me, for I am thankful for you, for you are my chosen. You are the ones who have responded to me and my love. So walk with great boldness and great confidence in this day and time. Know that I will empower you. I will strengthen you. I will inspire you in every direction and in every way. For I have called you to be my representatives. I have called you to speak for me. I have called you to do the works that my Son Jesus Christ did and greater. I have called you to know my power. So verily walk with me. Don't doubt me and don't doubt yourselves, for I work in you and I will be there for you. I will keep you from falling, and I will bless you forevermore.
Well, Father, we're certainly thankful for the words that you have spoke to us this morning that hit the nail on the head. Father, how we should just never doubt ourselves, that you're always with us, to willing to do of your good pleasure. You work in us every moment of every day. And Father, how we can just stand back so amazed at your power that works through us to reach the people that you've called to be your children. And Father, it's so humbling and so beautiful how you set this whole thing up to love us and reward us, and that how we are pleasing in your sight, and that we can just, you know, try to love you back as much as you love us. So again, Father, thank you for these beautiful words. In the name of Jesus Christ.